Without any further ado, I think he's all ready to go. The man from all the way down under, Australia. We're happy to have him with us today, Alan Ames, everyone.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay at the back? Great. Someone said no. How can they hear me to answer? I'll try and speak a bit louder. I'd like to thank Father for allowing me to speak here tonight. Tom and Carol Bouquet for organising this. The other priests who are here hearing confessions. But I'd especially like to thank all of you for being here, because I know there's many other things you could be doing, and I appreciate that you're here tonight with the Lord and with me. I wonder, have any of you heard me speak before? Could you raise your hands? Oh, a few of you. Thank you for coming back. For those who haven't been before and maybe have come for healing, please understand the healing begins in the Holy Mass. The Holy Eucharist is the greatest healing prayer of all. We're the greatest physician. God Himself fills you with Himself, His healing love. The healing continues through the talk, because very often people say, as I spoke, by the grace of God, they were healed. Then afterwards, when the Blessed Sacrament will be exposed, and I'll lay hands on you and pray with you. And as Father said, throughout the evening, we've got four or five, six priests hearing confessions. After the Eucharist, confession is the next most powerful healing prayer, healing sacrament. And if you want the best healing, it's important you have a good confession. So the healing tonight is sacramental. It's in the Eucharist, it's with the Blessed Sacrament exposed, it's in the sacrament of confession, and through the very powerful sacrament of the priesthood. And my talk and my prayers only complement the sacraments. As some of you know, I lived a very bad life. I committed just about every sin. I mean, I'm trying to be better now. I struggle with it every day. It's not easy. But before, I was really bad. I was addicted to many things. Even though I was a baptised Catholic, I didn't believe in God. Never went to church, never prayed. Lived for all the things of the world. I was extremely violent, and I abused and hurt many people. All I ever thought about was getting what I wanted, and I didn't care what I had to do to get there. And God was the furthest thing from my mind, except maybe when I was in trouble, I might say, God, help me. But other than that, I didn't really believe in God. But 25 years ago now, at the age of 40, when I was in the darkest part of my life, doing the most terrible and disgusting sins, God reached through the darkness I was living in to touch me with the light of His love. He reached deep inside of me, into my heart, beyond that, into my soul, and set fire with it, with His divine love, His divine light. And as He did, all the darkness within me and around me began to disappear. And I was filled with complete joy, complete ecstasy. I couldn't stop laughing, I couldn't stop crying. It was amazing. And as Jesus reached out and lifted my human heart and placed it inside His divine heart, He surrounded it and filled it with His love. Such overwhelming love, such passionate love, beyond anything of this world. And then He said those three wonderful words to me. He said, I love you. And in those words, I knew was a divine truth, that God loved me. He always had, He always would. Of course, He didn't like the bad things I did, but always He loved me. Even when I turned away from him, he never turned away from me. When I abandoned him, he never abandoned me. He was always there loving me, as he is for every person. And as he filled me with that love, all my addictions just disappeared in 1 second. They were gone. To be replaced with a desire to love God and to live for his love. Because it's beyond anything of this world. And once you experience that love, that's what you want to live for, because now you know this is what you were created to live for and in and with in your life. The love of God, the love of Jesus. And a few months ago, I was talking to Jesus and I was asking him, saying, Lord, why did you do this to me? I mean, I was a very bad person then, living this extremely bad life. And yet you came and loved me and showed me your love. You know, why didn't you do that to some good and holy person like you people? Why did you do it to me? He said, well, God is love. The very nature of God is love. All God can do is love. He can't do anything else. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't, because he's love. His entire being is love. And so all God does is love and never stops loving. There's no hatred, no bitterness, no resentment, no seeking of revenge in God. All he does is love, continuously, eternally, with divine sweet love that's offered to everyone. And it doesn't matter what we do to him. It doesn't matter how much we abuse God, reject him. He never stops loving us, because that's his very nature. And so in every moment of every day, God is there, reaching out to each person in love. Jesus is beside each person crying out, I love you. He has a passionate love for each person. To him, each one of us is precious. We're a jewel, we're a treasure. Jesus is actually in love with us. And just like when you're in love with someone, you want them to have a good, a happy, successful life. And you'll give them what you can to help them achieve this. So it is for Jesus, who's in love with us. He wants us to have a good, a happy, a holy life. And he'll give us all he can so that we can achieve this. All the gifts, all the graces, all the love. No one loves you as much as Jesus. No one cares for you as much as Jesus. No one wants the best for you as much as Jesus. In every moment, Jesus is crying out, I love you. Love me. He implores you, he begs you to love him. Not because it will make him any greater, that's impossible. God is great in himself. But because it will make you greater. Because when you love God above all others, above all else, as you're meant to, as you're created to, when you put the world and self aside and love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit completely, then you open your heart, your soul to God, and Jesus can reach inside of you to fill you with gifts, with graces, with love. And he can raise you up. He can make you greater, because that's what he wants to do. Jesus loves you. And in that love, he wants you to have that happy, that holy life. In every moment, Jesus is crying out, why won't you love me? What have I done to offend you that you won't love me as you should? What have I done to hurt you that you won't love me as you should? I gave my very life for you that you would love me. What more can I do? What more can I give? There's no more. I've given all of myself for you, and still you find it hard to love me. And that's because we keep focusing on the world and on self and not on God as we're meant to. I'd like to share with you a message from my newest book, called God is with Us. It's a message from Jesus. Each soul is precious to me. Each heart is loved by me. Each person I want with me. I long for each person to know that I love them and hold them precious in my heart. I long for each person to understand. I want them with me forever, united in my love. I long for each person to listen and believe, so that they can be at peace in their souls. You know, we stop the love of God filling us when we put the world and self before God, because then we place a barrier between ourselves and God. And so often we live to the deceit of the world. We accept all the wrong things in the world before the right things of heaven, the right things of God. And how foolish that is. I mean, there's something seriously wrong with mankind. If you look around the world, the stupid things we accept, the things we do, it's ridiculous. Sometimes I feel like I'm living in a madhouse when I see the things that are going on and what people are accepting as truth, when they're obviously not. I think, are we that stupid? Our souls within us, they groan in agony when we do this, because our souls, they know the truth of God. When they were created, God placed his truth inside our souls, and our souls want to live to his truth. That's their desire. And in every day, in every moment, our soul is looking to God and living in his divine truth. But in our humanity, our minds, our bodies, we're looking to the world and the deceit in the world and accepting that rather than the truth of God. And so we have this battle within us. Our souls looking to heaven, looking to God, our humanity looking to the world. And we're tearing ourselves apart. And we can't be at peace when we do this. No wonder we feel so much confusion in lives, so much uncertainty. We don't know what direction to go. We seem lost in life. No wonder there's so much pain, hurt, and suffering, because when you're fighting with yourself, you will have this. It's only when you live to the truth of God as you're meant to that a lot of this will be removed from within you. Your soul, it groans inside of you. It cries out, why do you accept such stupid things in life? Instead of accepting the truth of God. And when you accept these things, the soul's crying out, no, don't do that. You're hurting yourself. You can feel it at times because you feel so uneasy within. You feel uncertain about what you're doing. Something wrong, something not right. That's your soul telling you. This is not God's way. Each day we must look to the truth of God and living in his truth if we truly want peace within us, so our souls can be at peace, our minds, our bodies can be at peace, our lives can be at peace as we live in that divine truth, and in doing so being open completely to God. You know, our souls are hungering for God. They long to be filled with God. They hunger, they thirst for him. Our souls were created to live in, with, and through God, to be filled with God. And each day they're hungering for the food of heaven. You know, you feed your body each day. Otherwise you go hungry and it's painful and you have problems and you get sick. But why do you think it's different for your soul? If you don't feed your soul, it gets hungry, it gets sick. Your soul at times is starving within you because you don't feed it with the food it needs, the food of heaven. And then there's an emptiness within that can't be filled by anything else. At times, I know because I did it, we try to cover it up with alcohol, with drugs, things of addiction, the pleasures, the excitement of the world, but always within us, still, there's that emptiness. The feelings of being unloved, unwanted, uncared for, less than others. There's something missing in our lives. We don't know what it is. Well, it's Jesus filling our soul. That's what's missing. Our souls are hungering and thirsting for the body and blood of Jesus, the food of heaven. And it's only then they can find fullness. It's only in Christ, when we receive him in love, that our souls can be completely filled as they're meant to be, with the divine presence of God. They can be satisfied as they eat and drink of his body and blood. And when they do, when we do that in love, they dance within us with joy. They're inebriated in that love. Our souls are singing out the praises of God, the thanks to God, that he would fill them with his entire being, his divine presence. And for this to happen, we have to come to the Holy Mass. It's only here We can feed our souls. It's here is the food of heaven, the divine banquet, where Jesus invites us to eat not only spiritually, but also physically of his divine being, so that our souls can be satisfied in him and achieve fullness in life. But for this to happen, when you come to the Holy Mass, you have to come in love, to the sacrament of love, seeking God, seeking Jesus. When you start the Mass in the beginning, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, crying out, Father, I come to you in love to be filled with your Son by the grace of your Holy Spirit. And when you finish the Mass and get that final blessing, crying out, Lord, don't bless me, but through me, bless all those I come in contact with. Because then you start and finish the Mass as you should, in love, seeking the love of God in the Mass in the beginning, and then at the end of the Mass, seeking to share the love of God with others as you're meant to. And when you come to the Mass in this way, you start to understand that Jesus is here at every Mass, waiting for you. He's waiting for your presence, your love. He's longing, aching, hungering, and thirsting for your presence and love. And that's how you're meant to be when you come to the Mass. You're meant to imitate Jesus, waiting in anticipation of receiving him, with an excitement within at the thought of becoming one with God, longing, aching, hungering, and thirsting for him, his presence, his love. And when you come in that way, as Jesus reaches out to you in love in the Holy Mass, and you reach out to him in love, then you meet in love, you unite in love, you become one in love. And Jesus will draw your humanity into his divinity. In the Holy Mass, God and man become one. Heaven and earth unite as Jesus draws us into him to fill us completely with him. And he'll reach out. He'll take hold of our hearts and place our human hearts that are now open to him, inviting him within. He'll take our hearts and place them inside of his divine, his sacred, his Eucharistic heart. And now Jesus will come into us. The Lord of love will come into our hearts to sit on a throne of love, to fill us with divine love, so that our hearts can love as Jesus loves, so that every heartbeat that we have becomes one with Christ, who's now filling us. So that as our hearts beat, Jesus' heart beats inside of us. And truly we can grow in love. Love of God and love of others as we're meant to. And what Jesus will do, he'll take hold of you. Ever so gently. He'll place you on the altar with him. This is where you're meant to be in the Holy Mass. In Jesus, with Jesus, and through Jesus. You're meant to be a sacrificial offering of love to the Father in heaven. But for this to happen, you have to want that. You have to seek that. You have to give yourself completely to Jesus, just as he gives himself completely to you. You know, he holds nothing back. He gives you his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, all that he is. If there's any more to give you, he would give it, but there's no more. He gives you everything he is. And when you come to the Mass, you're meant to give all you are to Jesus. Your mind, your body, your soul, your humanity, your entire being. And Jesus, he loves us so much that he lowers himself to be less than human, to be bread and wine, to be our food and drink, so that we can eat and drink of him, to be raised up by him in his humble and divine love of man. But for this to happen, we have to give ourselves completely to Jesus and let him place us on the altar with him, so we can become this sacrificial offering of love to the Father in heaven. And when we do that, then when we allow Jesus to place us here on the altar, he'll place us in the chalice. He'll cover us with his precious blood. And when he does that, you can put all your pain, all your hurts, all your suffering in the chalice with you. And not only yours. The pain, the hurt, the suffering of those you know. You can place those who don't know God, you can place them in the chalice with you, so that as the priest, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, raises that chalice heavenward to the Father as a sacrificial offering of love, Your pain, your hurt, your suffering is raised to the Father in heaven. And not only yours, those you've placed in the chalice with you. And the Father will pour out grace in abundance to bless you, to bless them. And this is what you're meant to do. You're never meant to come to God by yourself. You're meant to bring others with you. And when you let Jesus place you in that chalice and that blood washes over you, you feel such peace, such security. All your fears, they just wash away. Because now you know God is with you. God is protecting you and taking care of you. And just like the Jews in Passover in Egypt, when they marked their doors with the sacrificial blood, the angel of death passed over their houses, couldn't do anything to them as long as they remained in the house. Well, we have far greater than that. When we come to the Holy Mass, we're marked with the sacrificial blood of the Lamb, and there's nothing evil can do to us as long as we remain in Jesus. And to remain in Jesus means to come for the frequent Eucharist so you can receive him frequently, so he can remain in you as you remain in him, so that your soul can be satisfied, can be fed more and more often, so that your soul can grow in grace, in love, so that you can grow and change to be more and more like Jesus. And when you come to frequent Eucharist and remain in Jesus and let him remain in you, then you know you're safe because God is with you. He's taking care of you. He's looking after you. And as you eat of that body and drink of that blood, this is where you overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. We all have them. Everyone's got temptations and distractions and bad thoughts we have. Everyone has them. And at times it's hard to overcome them. I mean, sometimes we go to confession and confess something, and then shortly afterwards we're doing the same thing again. And I think, how stupid am I? I've just confessed that and I'm doing it again. Because we're weak. Our flesh is weak. But when we come to the Holy Mass and eat of the flesh of Christ, then as our flesh becomes one in his flesh, he sanctifies our flesh, he makes it holy, he strengthens our weak flesh to help us overcome those weaknesses that we have. Now, they'll still be there, but what he'll do is that when those bad thoughts come into your mind, when those distractions are there, when the temptations are there to lead you away from God, he'll put a good thought into your mind. And he'll hope that you'll follow the good thought. And he'll do everything to encourage you to follow that good thought, so that you can follow the good thought that will lead you to heaven, not the bad thought that will lead you into darkness, pain and suffering. It's here we can overcome our weaknesses of the flesh. But as always, God gives us the choice to choose the help he wants to give us, to accept the grace he wants to give us, or to deny it. And today, because so many of us live to the deceptions of the world and we accept what everyone else says in the world is right, things are obviously wrong, then we deny ourselves God's grace. And even when we come to Mass, if we come to Mass in this way, putting the world and self before God, accepting the deceit of the world before the truth of heaven, then we're placing a barrier between ourselves and Jesus. And we can't be filled with him completely as we should be, because we're pushing him away, we're rejecting him, we're actually betraying him. In the Holy Mass it said there's one at the table who betrayed him. Well, when we come to the Mass in this way, with the world first, his deceptions first, self first, then we're betraying Jesus, because we're putting ourselves before God and we're denying him and his love. When we come to the Mass, it must be a complete acceptance of God's will, a complete acceptance of his truth, not only in the church, but in every moment of our life. Because in that complete acceptance of God, then we're open wide to him. So that when we do eat and drink of him, then that divine bliss, that divine love, that passionate love of Jesus, that is Jesus, God who is love, can fill us completely, can raise us beyond this world, sanctify us, make us holy, make us the saints of today. So that in our lives, we can experience heaven as we live on this earth. So that in our lives, as Christ is within us, as we remain in him and he remains in us, the light of his love burns so brightly within us that he burns the darkness away around us and in the lives of those we come in contact with. But it's all up to you. Up to you to seek this, to want this, to truly cry out, Lord, I'm yours, I love you. Do with me what you will. Fill me completely. I'm yours, Lord. And you'll find Jesus replying, saying, I'm yours. And I'll fill you completely with myself, with my love, because I love you. Now, I'd like to share just two little things with you before we go on to the healing part. First one's called a Eucharistic Rosary. I always share this because it's a powerful healing rosary. There's been thousands around the world, and I'll share one with you in a minute. Jesus gave me visions on the Eucharist for each decade of the rosary. Now, I'll only share five with you because there's 20 in total. He said, give it to the sick, to those who don't pray, there'll be healings and conversions. So I had the visions painted up. They're in a pamphlet at the back tonight. At that time, our Blessed Mother Mary appeared. She had her hands cupped together, different coloured rosaries falling out. She said, give out a rosary with each pamphlet and she'll bless it. But it's essential. You get a priest to bless it first. It's only after the priest has blessed it, our Blessed Mother will. Now, I'll share the five luminous mysteries with you, and then I'll share one of the healings. In the first luminous mystery, the baptism in the Jordan, I saw a large chalice with blood flowing over the side to create a river of blood. Descending into the river of blood was a large host. Above the host was the dove of the Holy Spirit. And above the Holy Spirit, God the Father, with his arms open wide, saying, come to the river of life. The wedding feast at Cana. In the center of the host was a chalice. Around it were the people at the wedding feast. And they were saying, you've saved the good wine until last. And by your goodness, we have this wine to offer. The coming of the kingdom. In the center of the host, I saw Jesus with a crown on his head. And he said, here is the kingdom. Transfiguration. In the center of the host was the face of Jesus shining so white, I could hardly look at it. And he said, be changed in me. And in the last one, the institution of the Eucharist. Jesus was in a Catholic church at the altar, dressed in the purple robes of a priest. Around him were the apostles. In one hand he had the host, in the other the chalice. He said, this is my body, this is my blood. Now he said, give it to the sick, there'll be many healings. Give it to those who don't pray, there'll be many conversions. And I'd like to share one with you now. There's an MD, a doctor, Dr. Paul, who arranges my talks in one city. And he had a young woman, about 27 years old, who'd just become blind, and there's no cure for her blindness. She came in to visit him. She was so depressed, she said, I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to be blind for the rest of my life. I'm going to kill myself. I just don't want to live anymore. Dr. Paul said to her, I've arranged a talk for Alan Ames at the local Catholic church tonight. Sometimes when he prays with people, they're healed. Maybe you should come along. You never know what happens. Now, she was a baptized Catholic, but she didn't believe in God. She hadn't been to church since she was a young teenager. She lived for the world and for herself. But in desperation, she decided to come along. A friend brought her. She experienced nothing through the Mass, nothing through the talk, nothing through the healing prayers. On the way out, the friend picked up a Eucharistic rosary. When they got home, the friend said, shall we pray this together? And the blind woman agreed. They prayed it together. She experienced nothing. She went to bed. She put the leaflet and the beads under her pillow. When she woke up the next morning, she opened her eyes. She could see normally. She couldn't believe it. She rushed back to Dr. Paul. Examined her, he said it was a miracle. He sent her to the local hospital, the eye hospital. The ophthalmologist examined her, who'd been treating her before, I said, this is amazing. This just doesn't happen. What did you do? She said, well, I prayed the rosary. Well, they couldn't accept that, but they couldn't explain how she was healed. And now, the wonderful thing is, she prays the rosary every day and goes to Mass every day. And I thank God for that. So give it to the sick. Give it to those who don't pray. Pray it with them if you can. If not, just leave it with them. Tell them it's from Jesus, blessed by Our Lady. And see what happens by the grace of God. Now, last but not least, I'd like to share with you from my favourite book, Through the Eyes of Jesus. It's where Jesus showed me his life as he walked the Holy Land. A book that will make you laugh and cry. Really, it's a book of conversion. Muslims, Hindus, Jews, many young people converted reading this. In Vienna, in Austria, there's a priest there who has it printed in Arabic, and he gives it to a lot of the Muslim immigrants that are coming there. And he's had hundreds of conversions, and it's really amazing. And the book received the imprimatur of the church as well, which is a great blessing. Anyway, I'd like to share this little bit with you. And as I'm getting older, I have to wear glasses now. And this is Jesus speaking. James turned to me as the song finished and asked, Lord, will you tell us more about heaven? There's complete silence as everyone looked at me expectantly. Heaven, I said, is where my Father sits on his throne and where I will sit at his right hand when I return home. The only sound that could be heard as I paused was the crackling of the fire. I continued, heaven is where eternal peace, eternal joy, and eternal love reigns supreme. Heaven is where all those who have lived their lives in the love of and service to God will find their eternal rewards. Heaven is where all are welcome and none are refused if they've lived as they should. Heaven is the most glorious reflection of God's love, for it's where that love resides. Heaven, whose doors will be open to all by the key of sacrificial love that God offers to himself. My followers were listening intently to every word, and now as I remained silent for a moment to let these words sink in, they looked at peace. Heaven, how can I compare it for you? Think of the greatest joy you've ever felt in your life, then think of that never ending. Think of the greatest love you've ever felt in your life, then think of that never ending. Think of the greatest celebration you've ever been to, then think of being there always. And still, you do not think of how great heaven is. Remember as a child how secure, how wanted, how happy you felt in your mother's and father's arms, how you never wanted that moment to end. Well, in heaven it never does. Think of the times you were with true friends and how their company filled your heart with happiness, how you never wanted those moments to end. In heaven, they never do. In heaven, you have family everywhere, friends everywhere, and love everywhere. In heaven, God gives you all the goodness you could ever desire. And in heaven, God allows you to become part of all the goodness. Heaven, an eternal city of God's love, with no pain, no suffering, no hate, no anger, no jealousy, no greed, no sin, only love forever. Heaven awaiting all who seek it in truth and offered to all in love, I explained. James, sitting next to me, had his eyes closed and a smile on his face as he said, I feel as if I'm there now, Lord. I tell you, my friend, you're not far from heaven at this moment, I answered. Heaven, I can't wait. All that love, said John serenely. Think of it, joy forever, said Philip. And peace forever, joined Bartholomew. Heaven, I said, is what this life leads to if you believe and trust in God. Now, with that, I'm going to finish this part. In a moment, Carol's going to come up and explain the healing to you. It's very important you listen so you know what's going to happen. Then after that, Father will come and expose the Blessed Sacrament, and then I'll come back and pray with you. I thank you so much for your time, your patience, and your kindness. God bless you all.